from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Third down, 8 to go. Fields pressured immediately. Athleticism escapes that one. Fields, are you kidding me? Has the first down and scoots out of bounds. The man is a magician, Justin Fields.
Can you explain what it was like to hear the crowds chant, "We want Fields," and have your back every step of the way?
Yeah, I mean, this city's amazing. Like I've said plenty of times, the city, the people, and really just the fan base, everybody, bro. Like, it's crazy. So, last home game at Soldier Field this year, you couldn't have it any better snowing. It's awesome. Just the atmosphere with everybody, the crowd, you know, how we ended things and finished the game off. I mean, it's awesome. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. So, all glory to God, and I'm just thankful for all of it.
Found Justin Fields to be a very likable and talented young man.
He still is.
Struggled to learn the nuance of pocket quarterback play and play it. And once that became evident, and some of us voiced our opinions about it, the conversation then, of course, often became toxic and disingenuous and part of a culture war of some kind. And I'm not that interested in revisiting that. I know some people might be in the wake of the news and the situation. But the Bears have Caleb Williams, and Russell Wilson is a backup in Pittsburgh. What I am interested in is seeing how you feel, Dan Bernstein, and how the listeners feel about something that I still believe about that man's future. Before we get to it, and it's Spiegs and Bernsey on the Scores Afternoon Show, before we get to that, let's hear Mike Tomlin, his head coach in Pittsburgh, talk about the decision to have Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback and how Justin Fields will be utilized, at least at season's start.
You know, it's been a challenging and good experience for me and for us, to be quite honest with you. Going through it, and really as we got into camp and really got competitive, it became evident that the decision was going to be difficult. Justin's talents are more than I anticipated, particularly his mobility, the things that he can do and create. That was really exciting. Russ's deep ball is even more impressive than his reputation, and I've seen it for 10 plus years or more toward 15 years in the National Football League to be around it. Every day it was really exciting. And I think that those are two examples about what made it challenging. It was challenging because of the things that they're capable of doing and how they conducted themselves in a positive way, as opposed to being challenging because of the things that they lack. Sometimes you're dealing with two candidates, man, and you're choosing the best of two unattractive options, if you will. It became very evident early in this process that it wasn't going to be that. And when you're in my position, man, that's a good problem. We had two capable guys, two guys that we're excited about their skill sets, two guys that we're excited about how they conduct themselves as professionals and as men. And it played out in that way. And so I'm really comfortable.
All that said, and again, I don't mean to telegraph anything to your friend Raheem Morris, who you're seeing in a couple Sundays from now. Is there a Justin Fields package still, do you think?
Hey, my friend Raheem Morris better be ready for Justin Fields package. I'll just say that.
Okay. So Fields won't just have an earbud and a clipboard, is what you're saying here.
I don't want to disclose any strategic approaches, but it's probably too much talent to be sitting around watching all day. You know what I mean?
That's Mike Tomlin with the Rich Eisen Show. He also told reporters, make no mistake, quote, His talent, his unique talent as it pertains to mobility, is something that we're open to weaponizing. Although I've acknowledged that, Russ is QB1, unquote from Mike Tomlin. So Justin Fields' reality is that he's a backup and he is a player who will be utilized with mobility, and it's going to feel like other quarterbacks utilized just for that in NFL past. Antoine Randle-L.
Two of the most famous have been in Pittsburgh.
Cordell Stewart.
Hines Ward.
Well, Hines Ward was a great wide receiver who was used like that at times.
But when he got there.
Well, Randle-L as well.
There was always talk about, so that is absolutely in the Steeler DNA to do something like that, and their fans know how to handle it.
But certain guys like that who have that skill set will last for a while in the NFL, and they will be backups, weaponized backups, or if it gets that bad, maybe third stringers, and they will last.
But there's no such thing as third stringers anymore. Third stringers are all practice squad guys now. Nobody carries three.
How many teams ended up carrying three based on the new rules on the 53-man roster?
But they changed the rule.
I know, but Cleveland's got three. Minnesota has three. They just picked up Brett Rippon.
They have three rosters?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people will, because you can only use that. It can't be a practice squad guy that you elevate. It has to be an inactive guy.
Right.
So if you're going to do that, and if you're in a position where you're not exactly sure who your one and your two are, and you want to keep a third, kind of like the Bears are doing at defensive end, keeping the volume that they are there. If you're a team like that, Minnesota has three, Cleveland has three. I'm sure there are more. But anyway, Justin Fields' role is something that exists for now, and I think is going to exist for a while for him. I think this is if this is his reality, I think it's going to be something that lasts for a little while. And I want to get this out, Bernsie. I have said, and I do believe, that at some point in his career, there will be a Geno Smith-esque, you know, awakening for Justin Fields with a good chapter somewhere. He's a good guy. He's a likable teammate. His talent is incredible in terms of the arm talent itself and his mobility. There's going to be some point where he's able to keep the voices that complicated things for him here and may still complicate him for a while. He's going to be able to keep those voices at bay and find the maturity to just play. I do believe that is a chapter he is going to find, and I still feel that way about his NFL future. He will have a moment later on in his future where he's like, oh, you know what? He was really good. And then some team is going to say, come be our quarterback for a little while.
I don't think that is a particularly risky statement. It happens. There aren't enough quarterbacks anyway. We know that. That somebody with his, not just his skill and ability, but with the kind of professional and teammate he is, it doesn't surprise me one bit.
Right. I mean, we can think of Jacoby Brissett is starting for the Patriots. After
he never had the pedigree that Justin Fields had.
No.
But what I would say is that it's not just his ability to process from the pocket. And the more people I talk to after the fact have mentioned that his delivery is too long.
It's too long.
And it's just like a player sometimes needs a swing change, or a golfer needs to rebuild a swing. It's much more likely that happens if he's willing to embrace a little bit of a change with the way he delivers the ball. And that's coming from actual football people. This isn't just me pulling out of my ass that saying, hey, that sometimes, and I forgot who told us this year, but talked about the plays that you can run or screen pass where you're not giving the defense any kind of cue whatsoever. And that's what's so clean about Caleb. And that comp with Aaron Rodgers is in that release.
Absolutely. When I was explaining to people why I was out on Fields, and it was like friends of mine who were, you know, some musicians who would come up and say, man, I've heard you talk about it, but can you talk about it with me? Like, I still love the guy. What am I missing? And I said, look, here's the problem. Sometimes he, in the pocket, he gets cautious and he doesn't fire because he doesn't quite see the anticipatory windows and he doesn't trust himself because he's trying not to make a mistake. That's number one, is that he doesn't quite see it and he pauses and he misses opportunities in the pocket.
And that could be a developmental error as well. That's not all his fault.
I agree, but I agree. But the other thing is that when he's on the run, that ability to let it go, boom, quickly, boom, let it go while he's on the run from any place and any platform and just fire it with accuracy, it takes him a long time. That extra split second where he's got to stop and plant and then throw, by then it's too late. So those two things, like you're talking about. But back to the first thing, where like he's in the pocket and he gets a little cautious. You remember one of the most famous quotes of his tenure as a Bears quarterback was when he talked about what might be in his head some of those times.
What do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe think too much?
You know, could be, coaching.
So could be coaching. And that unleashed a firestorm of conversation. That is an example, and maybe we can all relate. Whatever your job is or whatever has challenged you at times, and sometimes you get too many voices in your head, and you're just thinking a little too much, and you're not able to just say, just trust yourself and play. That is the personal development that could come with comfort, too. He did have a terrible situation here in that regard. Bad, weird communication patterns from weird people with other motives and all those kind of things. If there is a comfortable spot where he can learn to trust everybody, trust the coaches, and also quiet those voices in his head, I believe there's a chapter in his future of goodness.
Okay. And I don't, I also think that he was cluttered with a lot, and he was not helped by a head coach that refused to embrace him, a head coach that saw Andy Dalton as a better option for his team. Like, come on, what are you doing? And you would ask Matt Nagy about Justin Fields, and he'd answer, well, Andy. And it got to be funny that even asked about Justin, he would say, well, Andy, I didn't ask about Andy.
Well, do you think
ask about Andy?
But really, honestly, do you think he looked at Justin as a guy who still needed to develop and he just was afraid to throw him out there?
Yeah,
even though that's the modern NFL.
I think he was afraid for his own job. And I also think he was blinded by how tantalizing his system could be if the quarterback were an extension of his own mind.
Right.
And I think Fields is too much for him. I don't think he understood what he had. And especially, did you hear what Tomlin said when he's surprised? He used the word surprised at how athletic.
And how mobile he was. How are you surprised at that?
But think about it. That's Mike Tomlin.
He's seen
that's
some
not
greatness.
Some schmuck. That's Mike Tomlin saying when I got him, like, oh, whoa, he's that. Yeah. Wow. That's Mike Tomlin being surprised. It's possible that Nagy was completely overwhelmed. But it's also possible that Fields...
I mean, Nagy, the defining characteristic of Nagy is that he had only one way to do it. He had only one way to do it, and he was trying to find his Mahomes who got it, or his Alex Smith even who got it, on the cerebral level and quickly with the instincts, and he didn't have that. And he knew Justin wasn't quite there, so he wanted to wait. He should have made Justin a number three,
but
what he should have done.
What's really cool, though, is the difference in the empowerment. When I say that Nagy, what I was going to illustrate was that where Nagy wouldn't even answer a question about Justin.
Yeah.
And Justin always had this sort of, it's not really hazing, but he was getting a bit of a cold shoulder publicly sometimes from his coach, whether it was intended or not. The way that they have embraced Caleb Williams is I think they are trusting Caleb Williams. They're trusting him to say, hey, Shane Waldron, I don't want to hear that right now. Their working relationship is going to be such where here's what I need to hear. Here's what I need to see.
Uh-huh.
When I come off the field, what I want to see on that tablet, I want to see this front. I want to see where the safety, but I don't need that right now. That he knows what he, and it's not quite old Peyton Manning, where old Peyton Manning could walk in and be like, move the cameras during practice.
I thought Paul Robeson's vocal on that is one of the all-time great musical theater moments.
That if in fact that they really do trust Caleb the way they say they do, that we're not going to have any of these issues because he will just say, that's not how I learn. or that doesn't help me.
Oh, yeah.
That criticism doesn't help me.
Oh.
But I get you, but next time I'll respond better if you deliver it this way.
Look, it is such a different experience that we are watching from the coaching perspective, from the communication perspective, from how they teach and how they work and what the ceiling is. It's such a completely different thing that it's palpable. And there will come a time when we stop perhaps feeling those comparisons, but it's inevitable right now because of what the 7 years that we lived through with Mitch and with Justin. I made this point yesterday.
100 years we've without lived a doubt. Through here. It's more than just the recent.
Without a doubt.
Somewhere, I mean, there's an 80-year-old guy right now that just spat his soup out because he's like, what do you mean 7 years?
Yeah, but how about this? If the fact that Matt Eberflus is working more with Caleb Williams now than he ever did with Justin Fields, right, and having conversation with him. I was talking about this with Grody. If the model is Tony Dungy talking to old Peyton Manning or young Peyton Manning, as a defensive coach talking with the quarterback, then that feels conceivable right now because Eberflus can talk with Caleb about big picture things like when they blitz you, I want you to do this. Or, you know, they're going to attack you this way. So, no, you better be thinking about this, you know, or we're going to utilize this part of the game plan. The conversations with Fields last year had to be granular about quarterback play, about mechanics and about the playbook and things like that. That was not even stuff that a defensive head coach could really sit down and talk with about his own quarterback. It's a different kind of conversation you can have when your quarterback is starting from a level of understanding that Justin never quite
reached. It's not a controlled experiment, though. And it's fine that it's not, because I don't think Luke Getsy was very good at what he did. But the reason is we have a different variable here. We're changing out X and Y to have a new offensive coordinator.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know if Shane Waldron is going to be a good Bears offensive coordinator, independent of who the quarterback is, right? I don't know. I'm hopeful.
It's pretty interesting. I was reading an article about the Seattle Seahawks. I was actually reading about Kenneth Walker, the running back. And the writer was like, Seattle's offense is expected to take a leap now that Shane Waldron is gone. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's still the context.
Everybody
of
hates
Shane
their
Waldron.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody hates their offensive coordinator. I mean, Steelers fans, everybody always does. So there's a big leap of faith here going on by the Bears themselves and a huge leap of faith by those of us who are allowing ourselves, you know, daring to think that is this the guy? It's what Lawrence and I were talking about before. We're like the Matrix comparisons and how long it takes. Is he the one? Is he the one? And Morpheus, is it you're starting to believe?
Yeah.
And is Ryan Poles going to be that guy like Morpheus who's going to say, you know, he's starting to believe, you're starting to believe, and has an understanding that there's no doubt in his mind that he's the one?
So I'm looking at the quarterback depth charts on Our Lads, which has a nice way of doing it. And I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 teams, as a texter correctly points out, have kept three quarterbacks.
13. Okay.
13. A little higher than you thought,
yeah.
Probably, right?
Yeah, I thought it was probably single digits.
Yeah, so 13 teams have kept three teams. Last year it was, I believe it was 12, so it's not that big a change. And those teams that kept three are all a little uncertain. Oh my goodness, it's happening.
This is a big deal.
I hope you're watching on Twitch or on the YouTube channel as our special guest has arrived. There's a hug happening between Dan Bernstein and our special guest. You should race to Twitch or the YouTube channel and see the video. I told you that somebody was coming to host the back half of the show and was going to have the option to send Dan Bernstein home dismissively and authoritatively. The guesses from the listeners were Terry Bors, Mike Murphy, Dan McNeil, and some people did indeed guess Barry Rossner.
I saw Mike North guess in there.
Did you? Yeah. Mike North was a guess. Maybe Mike North knows.
You're dismissed, Dan.
Barry Rossner.
I don't need to go anywhere. I'm allowed to stay, right?
I don't know.
I've already cleared my afternoon.
If he's staying, I'm leaving.
I cleared my whole afternoon. I got nowhere to be.
I don't even know why I'm here. I still don't understand this or how this happened. It
this is
my
great.
Hope.
I don't want to.
I want to be clear about this. Yes. Under no circumstances.
Yes.
will I come back and work here? Under no circumstances will I come back and work.
What do you call this?
This is not working. This is stupid. I don't know why I'm here.
I know. The truth is we've been trying to have a visit, and this is the most convenient time.
Well, I mean, look, let's be honest. There's also no circumstances under which Mitch would ever hire me. So it's not something anybody has to worry about. But
did you have to get clearance from Mitch?
I did not get clearance from Mitch, but one of us did. Okay. I think Shane took care of that. We're good.
So I just happened to be on the way home. So Spiegel's been pestering me for what, like 5 years?
However long it's been. Yeah. And especially Sundays. I'm like, hit and run, dude. Come on, open share.
Please. Yeah, like I'm doing that. I just always said no. And there was no chance it was gonna happen. Earlier this week he started begging me for today, and I said, well, I'm gonna be driving back from Michigan. I'm playing golf that morning.
I see, right, because they came to me like, hey, we've exhausted all possibilities, we're in a pinch.
Yeah, that's right.
You were not the first choice, Dan. You weren't even probably the 10th choice.
I know.
Yeah. Even if you weren't working the earlier show, you wouldn't have been the first choice.
But I just happened to be driving back. I said, look, if I do this,
yeah,
will you stop texting me? Will you leave me alone forever now? Is this it? Does this suffice? Can you just leave me alone?
I'll take that into consideration.
Oh, for the love of God.
What'd you shoot today?
First 18. This was lovely.
This is Barry Rosner's life, by the way.
Michael Jordan over here.
Now that he doesn't do radio or newspapers, you're among the happiest humans on the planet these days, aren't you?
I don't know anybody happier than, I suppose people who have my life and are wealthy, which I am not, are probably happier than I am.
What's the difference? I don't think so. What's the difference?
Well, it's nice to not have that to ever think about or worry about, but I don't think too much about it.
What I think? My brother used to say that being a professional musician was like being independently wealthy without the wealth, which I thought. Yes. So that's you.
There's wisdom in that.
You're independently wealthy.
First 18, what'd you shoot?
On the first 18, you're going to love this. I went 49-35. I mean, how stupid is that? Then I went 42-42.
Oh, that's
good. And I, on a very nice private course, which I've been asked to play many, many times. A buddy of mine knows a member, so
Merit Club?
What's that?
Merit Club?
No, this was in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I've played the Merit Club. Come on.
No, of course you have. I'm just curious. It's a very nice
Merit Club.
I know, but it's hard to get out of there.
I do love the Merit Club, by the way, and I'd like to go back if anybody wants to invite me.
If anybody's listening, I don't want to play golf there. I just want to fish.
Okay.
I would play golf, but if you say, no, Barry Bernstein can never golf here, if you just let me wander around, I'll be there, and just you won't even see me. I won't get in anybody's way.
That's a lovely property.
I know. Apparently, there's bass the size of gunboats.
Yeah, that's of absolutely no interest.
You know, I was thinking, my original vision for this, Shane, what do you think? My original vision for this was that Barry would come here and just kick Bernstein out, just like unceremoniously kick him to the curb. But I realized what's happening is that Barry's directing all of his condescension to Dan and not me. And it's quite lovely. It's very comfortable.
I think in a perfect
Spiegel,
world.
I was just hoping you would remember that I really don't like you very much.
There it is.
And maybe you would remember that you didn't really like working with me that much. And then you would just stop asking me. That's what today is about. Today, it's my hope that we can put an end to this and that you'll leave me alone.
I can't leave you alone. Barry, I've never forgotten that I don't like you. Okay. Just to hold on to that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That has never left my heart.
I just kind of appreciate that.
Tanny, what were you going
to
say?
No, in a perfect world, Barry decides whether or not Dan has to stay, and of course he would make him stay till 6 just because, but then you freeze him out on the air all day and don't let him get a word in. That would be the perfect world for all of us.
Tanny, could I have a little more audio,
a little
please?
More juice in there?
No, I got plenty of those.
I know it's been a while, Barry, but you got a knob down there by your headphone jack.
Show me where. This
where
is a new studio.
Just trace the headphone cord back to the origin.
How's that?
It's a new studio.
I forgot how to do everything.
I've never been in this studio.
You just have to make me a promise, Roger.
Is that true?
I promise I won't share anything you and I have texted to each other if you make the same promise. Because we're both fired. We're both.
Yeah, I mean, but I can't be canceled,
that's
Dan.
True.
I have yes, nothing yes. to lose.
Yes, that's
I'm going to start looking through those texts right now. Yeah.
No, because it's going to get every.
And I know some of those are 11 o'clock drunk texts.
And some
too.
Are.
When did you start drinking so much?
It might get my kid kicked out of college. That's what I'm worried about. That's my bigger worry.
We're going to have Hamas protesters out on Michigan Avenue.
It's going to be insane. So just as long as we're careful there.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It already happened. Yeah. Oh, no, we do need to take a break. That's right. Will someone please control the situation? Oh, wait, it's me. Good luck, everybody. It's Spiegs and Bernstein and Rosner. How did this happen on the score? The state of one of our local teams was sad and then funny and then sad again. Then we forgot about it.
And now
I don't even know what it is.
It's still sad.
Well, we're going to talk about that next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Hey, I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Isn't that something? I'm on to cigars now. Yeah, I'm on to a 5-year plan. I eliminated the cigarettes, then I go to cigars, then I go to pipes, then I go to chewing tobacco, then I'm on to that nicotine gum.
Cigar in the mouth of Barry Rosner.
As long as it stays there, it didn't go anywhere else.
I'm going to try to get everybody here fired today.
That's Barry's goal, to try and get us all fired. Yeah, that's right. It's Barry Rosner in the house. It's been a long time. When's the last time you were on this radio station in a studio hosting a show? You know?
Probably the final hit and run of 2018.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time. And this Sunday...
Well, everybody I knew who was working day parts was either fired or gone or suspended or quit or whatever.
Imprisoned.
I might have been the only... I don't know. I wasn't getting the day shows anymore. And I had some kind of a deal with Mitch, and he took that away. And it was like... It felt very much the end of me at that point. So when I said goodbye on Hit and Run that day, I was pretty sure that was the end. Yeah. And I didn't get a call until like December. And I was like... Yeah, Mitch, I'm not sweeping the floors anymore. I'm done with that. I mean, get the janitor's assistant to do it, okay? So that was pretty much the end right there. And then we finally had a talk about it, I think, in January.
Of this year?
No, of that next year, 2019. Year. It was great. At the Cubs convention, DeCastro came up to me and thanked me for being part of the family. It was the first time I ever met him.
No.
It was the first time I ever met him. And it was at that moment that I was telling Mitch, I'm never coming back under any circumstance.
Wow. That's amazing.
So it was great. That happened within a 5-minute span.
Well,
those two things.
He wasn't the most plugged in guy in terms of the talent until he fired the ones and brought in the other ones.
Well, I'm
then
sure.
Then he was plugged. That day, he was very plugged in.
Mm-hmm. I had never met the man. Or maybe I had somewhere else down the line years before, but not here, not during the years.
Yeah, we've got one small issue for the rest of the show, and that is that Barry has devolved in terms of his personal filter, like what he thinks is okay to say and what is not okay to say. Right now, he's nothing but a truth teller, right? You've got absolutely nothing but truth.
Don't forget that all the years I worked here, I worked for a newspaper, and while they may have a you know, what you probably think of as a far-left editorial judgment, they're conservative, as most newspapers are, from the standpoint of what they want their quote-unquote personalities doing when they're out there.
Uh-huh.
So when I was here, I had to be much more careful than you idiots. I mean, you guys got away with a lot more than I did. Now, On the other hand, I can say anything I want, and I do not care.
And
do
also,
not
care you have nothing to lose.
But it's not just that. He has nothing to say. Because
also true.
Because he doesn't watch or care about sports.
I watch.
I don't think that's true.
I watch a lot of golf. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of hockey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you still watch hockey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My first.
Why don't you play again?
Oh, God. I got bone spurs in my hip, in my neck, and in my back.
Come on. You get an old man's league. I've seen these rad hockey games. I've seen these guys. Yeah. I've seen 65-year-old goaltenders.
I played 45 years. Is that not enough? Is that not enough?
45 years of hockey.
Yeah.
That's all,
I don't personally believe that you don't watch baseball. I don't believe it.
I don't watch baseball. It's true. I do.
Like no baseball?
No baseball. I watch the playoffs after like the seventh round. How many? There's like 24 teams now, right? It's like hockey. Everybody's in pretty much. So I don't watch the early round. I do watch the league championship series and the World Series.
Okay.
I cannot watch a regular season.
All right.
Game.
So you're not watching regular season White Sox games?
I was a beat guy, Matt. Yeah. You don't get over that. Once you've done that, you don't. It's like. It's very hard to
yeah, because you're too close to it, and you're
very close to it. It's 24/7, 365. It just you never get. Dan knows the famous. I've told the story to Dan on the air once. The famous Maui story, where you don't know that story.
I don't think so.
I'm on my honeymoon. It's 1992. It's finally. I think the Maddox thing was over. I know you want to talk about Maddox.
I do because I watched the documentary and it's outstanding.
I think maybe the Maddox thing was coming to anyway. No, it was over. It because it was December. That was over. All the moves had been made. Everything was done. I get to Maui. I'm finally away from baseball. No one can find me or talk to me. I get. Out of the rental car at the hotel, and there's John Feinstein, who had just written a baseball book, which I had helped him with. And I would get out of the car. Amy's not even out of the car, okay?
And John already your vacation is ruined.
Barry, hey, what's going on? Oh, this is so great. This is going to be great. I said, John, I'm on my honeymoon. There's my wife. He doesn't even say hi to my wife. And his wife says, John, leave him alone. They're on their honeymoon. Next morning, we get up. We get in the elevator, we're ready to go down to the beach. We're going to get our Mai Tais. We're going to go sit on the beach.
Yeah.
In the elevator is Tom Kleinschmidt and Chuck Swirsky.
Hey, good to see you.
Right. Did you hear the cup side, Willie Wilson?
Sauce.
That's the second Willie Wilson on the Cubs reference in 2 days here on The Score.
Are you talking about me, the inside the park homer?
No. So that's three in a week? Because yes. I came up yesterday.
No, but the Willie Wilson I mentioned was the former Chicago mayoral candidate.
Right. Okay,
no,
but I thought for sure you were talking about the guy that George Brett drove in all the time.
We were talking to Ian Happ about PCA's Inside the Park Homer.
Uh-huh.
And they said it was because
those are Cubs players.
PCA?
Yeah.
I know who Ian Happ is.
You know who PCA is.
No, I don't know what a PCA is.
It's a hallucinogenic.
Huh? No, it's not a hallucinogenic.
It was invented by the Germans as a weapon.
People think it's great.
It might be good.
It might be pretty good.
It's like Felix Tanny. PA. Remember Felix PA?
No, yes.
No. Easy,
Tanny,
Shane.
Honestly, you want the next 4 years of Pete Crow Armstrong or the next 4 years of Luis Robert?
It's not about that.
Real question.
No, whose organization do I get behind each player?
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Can I get Luis Robert on the Cubs?
Do you know who Luis Robert is?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. All
Pete
right.
Crow Armstrong?
Yeah.
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 His now, mom was an actress.
Now I should pretend to care, right?
No, you're good.
Pretend to care. So listen, we're talking to Happ about his Inside the Park homer. One of the fastest guys in baseball. All of the StatCast sprint speeds are just insane for this guy. And I mentioned, because Ian said, I think it's the second fastest recorded Inside the Park home run in the StatCast era. And of course, we're fact-checking. He was right, because Byron Buxton had one.
Yes.
It was just under 14 seconds. And I remembered in 1979, Willie Wilson hit one against the Yankees. And so we went back and timed it. And it was like right in between them. Right in between Buxton and PCA was that particular Willie Wilson home run. The difference was Willie didn't start running until he was halfway to first.
He was that fast.
Yep.
He could fly.
He could fly. So anyway.
Maybe later I'll tell you the Willie Wilson naked screaming about the Milwaukee, Phil Garner after getting hit by a pitch during spring training. screaming, naked, jumping up and down.
Oh, floppity floppity.
Me and Joe Goddard trying to concentrate on the conversation we were having, and Willie's getting hit in the face. I mean, it was.
Well, Joe had an evening to plan.
All right, so Tom Kleinschmidt and
so then
Chuck
we get
Swirsky.
So this is bad. This is a bad moment. Then we get out to the pool, and there's Feinstein and Coach K and Cherokee Parks and Bobby Hurley and Chris Collins and Doug Collins, who hates me, and the whole Duke basketball team. And Feinstein introduces me to Coach K, who's a Cubs fan.
Oh no!
And this goes on. I'm trying I'm trying to be polite, and I turn around, and my wife is gone.
Of course,
she's
she
gone.
Is.
She skipped the bar, went right to the beach. Half hour later, I get out there. She's just
and she's with Willie Wilson.
But it was still.
She had seen what I had seen.
then it would be understandable, perhaps. Okay,
it's just very hard. It's hard, you know, between being a beat guy and then a columnist all those years and having to watch and then hit and run, especially the years you were doing it because you weren't watching any of the games. And I'm watching all the games and I'm carrying the show. And it's just a night, you know, when it's over, you go. Yeah, that's I cannot.
Yeah, so you're
I cannot
done. So
watch
you're
that.
Out on baseball.
I do watch the NFL. It took me a while. I got back to the NFL last year, and college football last year. So I mean, little by little, I'm starting to bring back the sport.
All right, in what I'm sure will be a pattern, I'm going to tease the same thing I teased for this segment for the next segment, since Barry Rosner is a destructor of structure.
I don't even know what your breaks are or when they happen.
Oh, it's clear.
I haven't heard a scoreboard update.
Speaks doesn't really either. Speaks is better. Danny didn't.
Expecting Joe Bartosz to come in and do an update for us? He's probably over there.
He probably is.
Right?
That would be great. That would be great. So I don't know what you're teasing. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about it anyway. But you go ahead and tease
it, buddy.
If you want.
Eat that Uncrustable that's been in your golf bag since 7 a.m. If you're hungry.
5 a.m.
All right, 5. Sorry.
4 a.m. Chicago time.
Okay, Speaks and Ross. And Bernstein on 670 The Score. All right, so earlier today, my sister-in-law sent me a text and a video from her first row seats at the White Sox game. She panned around to show me just how few people are there. I don't know what the announced attendance was for today, but I mean, and the announced attendance, I mean, yesterday, whatever they announced, I think at one point I counted the number of people in a picture that somebody sent from yesterday. Daryl Van Scowen had tweeted a picture of like
poor Daryl,
light crowd, poor anybody who's poor in that Darryl. Orbit, anybody who's a decent human who's in that orbit, poor all of them, because I think there were 60 people in the picture I saw, which looked to be like at least half the ballpark. It is unreal. And I think it is the worst state of any organization that I remember in the history of this town. Any professional organization,
I would argue.
Bill Wirtz Blackhawks?
Yeah, the Blackhawks of the,
I understand.
Of the late 90s, early 2000s. Mike Smith, Alpo Suhonen years.
Barry?
Yeah. They used to announce 8,000. There was probably 2,000.
Okay.
That's why I said the punk rock sports fan should be at these games. If you're the kind of person who wants to say, I was there when, this is when.
Well, listen.
When is now.
Listen to Grady Sizemore, who's the acting manager, because time is a flat circle, Barry.
Grady Sizemore, the center fielder? is managing the White Sox?
He's the manager of the White Sox.
Grady Sizemore of the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
It
was the Indians.
It was the Indians.
Who was the trade? Bartolo Colon to Montreal for Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, and Cliff Lee.
Wow.
Ooh.
How about that deal for a rental? Pretty good deal by Cleveland at the
He's
time.
He's managing the White Sox.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Chicago White Sox. Yes.
Yes.
Grady Sizemore.
Yes. I knew you'd enjoy that.
How long has he been here?
Hey, this year he started as an intern or something. And then, I'm not even kidding.
This he was
wrapping ankles before the game, and now he's managing?
He was actually an intern last year, I believe, in Arizona. Yep. Came with Josh Barfield over here as a low-ranking coach and is now the acting
manager.
Should
I assume he has no managerial experience?
Oh, well done. And
because everybody's a celebrity manager
these
days,
this is like the movie
right?
Sleeper.
They're waking Barry up and telling him stuff.
They were Miles Monroe.
Hey, Barry, the funny thing
they
is...
They pulled him out of the tinfoil.
After they
you
said,
know, that holds up well. It really does. I don't know.
Yeah, the only problem is the auteur behind it. That's the only issue. But Barry, they fired Pedro Grifol, and they asked pretty much everybody if they wanted to manage, and everybody said no.
I think I knew he was the manager.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him either.
Well, so here's Grady Sizemore talking about his experience with how few fans were in attendance at the Sox game.
The oddity of the start of late schedulers in such a small crowd probably reminded some of the players of the COVID days.
I wasn't around in the COVID days, but it was definitely you could hear everything. It happens sometimes. You know, you have games where you're not a lot of fans, but I felt like. Again, it was guys played hard, just couldn't string anything together offensively tonight.
Was that a tanny drop of a groan, or was that him groaning? Oh, that was a drop? Okay.
No, that was him. Every groan you hear is all happening in the room when you're talking about the White Sox.
It's all genuine.
He started his answer with a groan.
You picture it like the galley of a slave ship where there are the oars, where they're just being commanded to row faster, faster, scallywags, row!
Like Charlton Heston?
Right,
Or like History of the World.
Yeah. Oi! Let's go live to the White Sox Club. God, when does it end?
But
Barry, this is
an organization with an owner who still thinks he knows how to fix things and hasn't had a clue for decades. He's still trying to recreate the Brooklyn Dodgers that broke his heart. He thinks Eddie Stanky is the prototype for what kind of ball player he needs, so he hired Chris Getz to run the team.
David Eckstein.
And so he loves from Stanky to Eckstein to Getz. You know?
Brooklyn Dodgers were good. This I remember. This I remember from scouring Baseball Reference back in the day. This I know. Brooklyn Dodgers were good. The rest of it, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Reinsdorf had a broken heart at age 8, and now he's 94, and he's still trying to fix that broken
heart. The only thing about the White Sox that disturbs me, because I don't know any of the stuff you're talking about, is somebody told me that they're actually looking at land in River City or somewhere around there. And I told you this story on the air.
Right near River City, the 78.
We used to walk down Roosevelt Road.
I love
on the way to Bear games. I'm talking like
91?
No, I'm talking like 83, 84, 85 kind of thing. We'd be walking down Roosevelt Road. God.
That's still alive.
Is that still a thing? Good Lord. Glad you guys have evolved over the years.
Not so much.
The land on both sides.
Yeah, Roosevelt Road.
All there was that one apartment building. I think it was called River City. Might still be called River City.
It is still
here in River City.
Was really the only thing that was there. And we were like, wow, somebody ought to build a stadium here. We thought about the Bears. Would they do it? And then we all came to the conclusion, you know, the four drunk fools came to the conclusion, the White Sox should build a new stadium right here, right downtown. Mm-hmm. And this was before Camden Yards or anybody was doing that.
Yeah.
And all the land was there, and you could have had it for $15. There was nothing there but garbage.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're talking about it?
Yeah, but they're not going to pay for it. They want us to pay for it.
We got nothing but money.
Hey, man.
So that's good.
This is the latest wrong he's trying to right. He's upset now that Hawk Harrelson fired Tony La Russa and Jim Leland and Dave Dombrowski. So he brought back La Russa. I'm sure he'd like to bring back Dombrowski and Leland if he could. He's trying to right some wrongs.
Dead or alive, Tony La Russa?
I'd be pissed. I'd be very angry.
Just curious. I mean, I'm asking a serious question. Anybody know?
Alive, and he's basically the shadow president of operations for the Chicago White Sox.
He works for the team.
Yes, he's the highest-ranking baseball decision-maker of the Chicago White Sox today.
Yeah.
Nah, you guys are playing with me.
No,
you guys are playing
amazing.
With me.
No, the same Tony La Russa.
God, we can think of anything.
Who didn't even know the rules. Who didn't even know the rules when he was managing.
See?
Because he's...
He was watching baseball.
Well, I was still working. I was still employed at the time.
I don't think so.
Yes, I was.
We were?
Yeah, look it up.
Oh, by the newspaper?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you forgot I had another job?
I forgot about that.
Without you, I don't have a job.
I'm guessing you know the rules, Barry.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Barry Rosner, ladies and gentlemen, is here. What happened at Bears practice today? Let's let Chris Emma join this party. I'm sure it'll be good. Keep it here on the screen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.